Okay, today's daf is Makos Daf Yud Aleph. I apologize again about yesterday. We'll pick up again from Daf Yud Amud Beis. We'll pick up from about five lines before the lines get very wide, on Daf Yud Amud Beis. Va'amar Rabbi Elazar. So the Gemara we're still in the Perek of Elu Hinagol, and we're talking about Ari Miklat, and the Gemara is going to make three different statements about a city that does not have Zakenim. The first of those three statements relates to Ari Miklat, so that's the context that we're bringing it up in this Perek. The other two do not have to do with Ari Miklat, but are just about cities that do not have Zakenim. So says Gemara Vamar Blazer, Ir She'in Ba Zakenim Eino Kolatis. A city that does not have Zakenim cannot serve as an Ari Miklat, as an Ir Miklat. To be in on Ziknei Ha'ir V'leka, because part of what the Torah requires is Ziknei Ha'ir. You don't have Ziknei Ha'ir. Itmar Ir She'in Ba Zakenim. Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Asi, Chadam or Kolatas, Chadam Reinu Kolatas. It's actually Machlokas, Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, whether a city that does not have Zakenim can serve as near Miklat or cannot serve as near Miklat. Lamandi Amar Reinu Kolatas, Be'in and Ziknei Veleka. The opinion that says that it cannot serve as near Miklat says, you need Ziknei Ha'ir, you don't have Ziknei Ha'ir, and therefore cannot serve as near Miklat. Lamandi Amar Kolatas, Mitzvah B'Alma, the one that says it can serve as near Miklat says, certainly the Torah thinks it's preferable to have Ziknei Ha'ir, but it's Mitzvah B'Alma. It's not ma'akev b'diavet. If you don't have ziknei ear, it doesn't prevent the city from being an ear miklat. Second statement about a city that does not have zikenim. V'ir shein b'zikenim. Rabbi Yam v'Rabbi Asi chadam or nasa b'ben sorim mora v'chadam rei nasa b'ben sorim mora. That there's machlokas amoraim, same amoraim, whether a city that does not have zikenim can have a ben sorim mora, whether you would have the full din of a ben sorim mora in a city that does not have zikenim. L'man di amra ein nasa b'ben sorim mora b'in ziknei ear v'leka. The opinion that says no would say, well, in the parsha ben sorim mora it mentions ziknei ear. In the parsha, it says v'tavsuvo avivimo v'tzio so el zikne iro vel shar mekomo, that the parents grab the kid and bring him to the zikne ear. So there must be zikne ear to bring him to. And if you don't have that, then that's part of the procedure of ben sorim mora. And if you can't do it, the kid can't become halachically ben sorim mora. L'man yamanasuvo ben sorim mora mitzvah bialma, the one that says that he does become a ben sorim mora, so mitzvah bialma will say yes. Ideally, they would bring him to Ziknei Ha'ir. If they don't bring him to Ziknei Ha'ir, they'll bring him to some other Beis Din. Mitzvah B'Alma, it's not Ma'akev that there be Zikanim in that city. Third statement about a city that does not have Zikanim, V'ir She'in B'Zikanim, again, same Amoraim, Rabbi Ami V'Rabasi, Chad Amar Mavia Egla Arufa, V'chad Amar Eino Mavia Egla Arufa. Machlokas, whether such a city can bring an Egla Arufa if it's measured to be the closer of the two cities, closer to the dead body, the unidentified or the unclaimed dead body. So the man diamar ena mavia egla rufa, the one that says that it cannot bring an egla rufa, be'inan ziknei ear. You need to have ziknei ear because the pasuk says v'haya ear akrova lechalal, the city that is closest to the dead body. V'lakhu ziknei ha'ir hahi, the zikenim of that city, they're the ones that have to bring the eglas bakar shalom ubad ba shalom mashchabal. They're the ones that have to bring the calf that has not been worked with, that has not been used in avodas hakarka at all, that never pulled a yoke. So they're the ones that have the chiyuv. So you need ziknei ear, and without that, then you don't have the concept of Egla Rufa. The man diam revia Egla Rufa mitzvah bialma, the one that says that it does bring an Egla Rufa, would say it's a mitzvah bialma. Right? What are they arguing about? So you would want to say that all three machlokasim are connected to each other in some way. And it's likely that what they're arguing about is the role of Ziknei Ir in terms of the procedure for all of these averos. Not only whether when the pasuk says something, the pasuk is automatically being ma'akev, but all of these serve as dealing with a problem, with a sin, with some sort of somebody that needs kapara, whether it be someone who murders b'shogeg, whether it be the ben sorim mora who's done a terrible avera, or whether it be being responsible for somebody's death. So it could be that the machlokas, at least on a hashkafic level, is can we fault a city that doesn't have proper leadership? Can you can they really be blamed for messing up in these areas when they didn't have proper leadership? They had no one to go to, as opposed to a city that does have proper leadership, that does have Ziknei Ha'ir. So then there's more responsibility that can be taken. So that could be part of the issue. Part of the issue might also be whether the din of Zikanim in these instances is Zakenim vis-a-vis Zakenim, or Zakenim vis-a-vis representatives of the city? Meaning, are these dinim in the city, or are these really actual dinim in the Zakenim? And who represent? So if you're going to say it's a din in the city, the reason the Zakenim get involved is because the Zakenim are representatives of the entire city, but it's not about the Zakenim per se. Or maybe no, maybe Be'inon Ziknei Ir is that the Zakenim are critical as Zakenim, not just as representatives of the entire city. So that may also be part of the issue over here that Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi disagree about. If you look in Tosos, Chadam Ramavin Egla Rufa says Tosos Tema, Tatnan Egla Rufa Ein Mod Din Elame Ir Sheish Babezdin. It's a Mishnah. What are Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi arguing about? There's a Mishnah that you can only measure for Egla Rufa from a city that has a Beis Din. Isn't that the same thing as Ziknei Ir? So how could you have a Deya that says you don't really need Ziknei Ir, that it's not Ma'akev? So it says Tosus Yeshlam Dehasamari Kigon Deika Ayaros Tuva Ubechad Binayu Yesh Beis Din, that there are several cities, one of them has a Beis Din. Kivin Dematzi Leukme Kra Demekaimile Aval Hacha Mairi Kigon She'ein Sham Beis Din Bekala Ayaros Asmuchos. Meaning, if you have a Beis Din in one of the cities, so it could be that you're only going to measure from those cities that do have a Beis Din. Over here, the Gemara is saying, what if none of them have a Beis Din? So there's no city that's at an advantage or a disadvantage in terms of the measurement, because none of them have a Beis Din. Then maybe there's a Havamina to assume that that there would be no procedure of Egla Rufa to begin with. Okay, says the Gemara, bottom line of Daf Yudam Beis. Am Rav Chaim Bar Chanina, Mipnei Ma Nemra Parshas Rotzchim B'Lashon Aza. Why is the Parsha of a Rotzeach, the Parsha of someone who kills B'Shogeg, said in such a strong Lashon? T'chsiv, because the Pasuk says, V'Yidaber Hashem El Yoshua Leymar, Daber El B'nei Yisrael Leymar, T'nu Lechem Esarei Amiklat, Asher Dibarti Aleichem. Right, Rashi points out, Lashon Aza is that B'Kol Yoshua K'siv V'Yomer Hashem. Throughout all of Sefer Yoshua, it always says V'Yomer Hashem. V'kanemar v'idabar Hashem l'Yoshua, v'dibur lashon azhu. Dibur is always a much stronger lashon. So why is it that in the parsha of Rotzchim, it's always speaking when in Yoshua, when Yoshua is being told about the Arei Miklat, when he's told Tnu lachem es Arei Miklat asher dibarti aleichem b'yad Moshe, that to set aside the Arei Miklat, to make the enact or activate the Arei Miklat, so that's that it speaks in such harsh terms. So says the Gemara, "Mnei shehin shel Torah," because most of the things said to Yeshua were divrei Kabbalah, but this is shel Torah. These are actual Torah laws. Says Rashi, "Avl shara miro shamer lo amar daber l'kayim mitzvah k'suvah b'Torah chutz mizu lo amar daber l'kayim mitzvah k'suvah b'Torah chutz mizu." Everything else said to Yeshua was not about fulfilling that which it says in the Torah. It was about HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanding Yeshua about whatever HaKadosh Baruch Hu was commanding Yeshua. But over here, this is about the Torah. So says the Gemara, wait a second. Actually, before we get weiter in the Gemara, Maariz Chayes points out over here that he writes, "Near Be'enai, Hainu de Bekol HaNeviim, in all the Neviim, Lomotzinu Vayomer Hashem al Yishayahu O El Yirmiyo Lemar." It never says that Hashem said to this one saying, like it says, Vayomer Hashem al Moshe Lemar. It doesn't say it by all the other Neviim. Rakan Vayidaber Hashem al Yeshua Lemar. Over here it's Vayidaber Hashem al Yeshua Lemar. V'tam, Mipreshu Chazaras Parshas HaTorah Nichtav B'Lashon HaTorah Mamish. Right, you have each Navi has its own signon, it has its own style. If you look at the different Navi, Chazon Yeshayahu, so it's Chazon, it's by Yecheskel, it's Ben Adam, right? Everything is Ben Adam. Every Navi has its own unique style, or most of them have their own unique style in terms of how HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicates with the Navi. But in the Torah, it's always Vayomer Hashem Lo Shaleimar, Vayidaber Hashem Lo Shaleimar. It's the standard Torah Lashon. Over here, by Yoshua, we have the Torah Lashon, meaning that's how the Maariz Chayes understands the issue over here. That's not just that it's a Dover Kasha, Dibor versus Amira, but the whole style is not the Navi kind of style. It's more of a Torah kind of style. So the Gemara says, yes, it is the Torah kind of style because we're dealing with Dinim of the Torah. Says the Gemara, "Lememra de kol dibur lashon kasha." Do you mean to say every time we have the word dibur, it always means a harsh type of lashon? And the Gemara, "In kedichsiv, as the pasuk says, dibur ha'ish adonai ha'aretz itanu kashos." That this is a pasuk in Bereishis Mem Beis, right? That they're reporting back to to Yaakov Avinu that the man who was in charge of the land, that Yosef spoke harshly with them. So you see that it says explicitly in the pasuk by Diber that he spoke kashos, that he spoke in a harsh manner. So you see that daber means, or vaidaber means, in a harsh manner. Vatanya, but don't we have a brisa that tells us nidberu? Pasuk says, "Az nidbru yirei Hashem ishes re'ehu vayakshev Hashem vayishma vaykasev sefer zikar l'fan of liyir Hashem elchosh reshmo." The nidbru is in the context in Malachi of something good about how all the yirei Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is going to remember all their goodness and he's going to write it down. So that doesn't seem to be kashos. That seems to be extremely pleasant. Nidbru ein nidbru elo lashon nachas. Nidbru is a lashon of nachas, right? So v'cheinu amer yadber amim tachtenu. It also says yadber amim tachtenu l'umim tachas raglenu, which again is a good thing. Yadber amim tachtenu means that the other nations are going to be worried about us. So davar l'chud yadber l'chud. So you have to say daber is one thing, yadber is something else. So the Gemara over here distinguishes between vayedaber and nidbru, and vayidaber, and yadber. That you have to have the exact proper formulation of the word in order for it to actually mean something that's really kashos. Okay, simani rabbanon mehemni v'sifri. So we have a simon for something. It's interesting, the achronim have a major discussion about what the simon means over here, because it doesn't seem to really correspond to anything that we're going to be dealing with. The Rashash writes, lo yecholti lamod alav im lo betol sofer. Most of the time we just skip over the simon, we don't even think about it. The Rashash says, I looked at the simon, I looked at the Gemara, I can't make the simon fit the Gemara, it's got to be a tol sofer in the simon. So what's the tol sofer? How can you make it fit with the Gemara? What's it all about? So the Paros Yosef goes into a little more detail. He says, it's a simon al machlokas Rabbi Yehuda, that we're going to have three machlokasim between Rabbi Yehuda and others, right? If you notice, the first three words after the first four words after the simon, pligibor Rabbi Yehuda v'rabbanan, right? We're going to have several machlokasim between Rabbi Yehuda and other people. So the Paros Yosef writes that in the first machlokas he's against the rabbanan, ubishnia Rabbi Nechemia. The second machlokas is against Rabbi Nechemia. Ubishlishis and Rabbi Meir. The third machlokas, Rabbi Yehuda, is against Rabbi Meir. Vuay a sofer. Now Rabbi Meir was a sofer. Kedisa Erevin, the Gemara in Erevin says, Daf Yud Gimel, Shemalachti Melech HaShemayim. That Rabbi Nechemia says, Rabbi Meir rather says, My Melecha is Melech HaShemayim. Meaning, he worked as a sofer. So it's like he was doing Melech HaShemayim. And also in Gittin, Daf Samach Vav, Rabbi Meir was the Gemara says explicitly, Rabbi Meir Chacham v'sofer. Rabbi Meir was a Chacham and a sofer. So what's the simon? Rabbanon Mehemna Safra. Rabbanon is the first bar plukta of Rabbi Yehuda. Let's go skip to the last one for a second. Safra is Rabbi Meir, the last bar plukta of Rabbi Yehuda. And what about the middle one? What is Mehemna? So he says, Vitevas Mehemna, that's the hard one. That's the difficult one. Osh Tzarek Lomer Nechemya. He says Mehemna must, that's what the Rashash must have been referring to as the typo. Mehemna must have said Nechemia, or that Mehemna and Nechemia sound close enough that we use Mehemna as the mnemonic for Nechemia, but otherwise no one could figure out why we use Mehemna to refer to Rabbi Nechemia, who's the middle in the middle machlokas with Rabbi Yehuda, who's the bar plukta in that machlokas. So that's the, you see, the achronim were worried about the simanim. Again, if you try to memorize Gemaras, the simanim were critical. It's mnemonics to memorize the Gemaras. So says Gemara, pligi bar Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanan. There's machlok Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbanan. Chavam Mnesha Shiham, the Chalam Shein Shel Torah. One opinion says that the reason it speaks in such harsh lashonos when it comes to the discussion of the Ari Miklat and Sefer Yoshua was because it delayed for such a long time that immediately after the Kibush Fechiluk, Yoshua did not immediately set aside the Ari Miklat. And the other says, no, because it's Shein Shel Torah, it's just talking about Torah laws, and that's why we speak in harsher terms. Vayichtov Yoshua Sedvar Me'il B'Sefer Torah Selukim. So the Pasuk says that Yeshua wrote down these words in the Sefer Torah Elokim. Wow. Yeshua wrote down these words in the Torah. So what does that mean? Yeshua wrote the Torah? Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Torah. What's going on over here? So, pligi bar Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Nechemia. That's machlokas Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya this time. Chadomer Shmona Pesukim, Chadomer Ari Miklat. One says it's referring to the eight Pesukim at the end of the Torah. We know that there's a major issue the Gemara Masechet Bava Basra deals with. What do you do about the last eight Pesukim in the Torah? Because the eight Pesukim before the Torah ends, it says, Vayamasha Moshe Eved Hashem, the Moshe Rabbeinu died. So Mimanav Shech, if he's dead, he can't write. If he wrote it, he couldn't be dead. And we know that every word of the Torah is true, so it can't be that he wasn't really dead. And if he's dead, then who really wrote those Pesukim? So that's the major problem. One of the opinions quoted in the Gemara there and quoted here is that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't write those eight Pesukim. Those eight Pesukim were written by Yoshua. Now the Gemara rejects that opinion. The Gemara says, how could that be? That the whole Torah is supposed to be, it's one of our Ikarei Emunah, that the whole Torah that we have is the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu gave to us. So very difficult to assume is Yoshua. So the Gemara over there says something that the Gemara over here does not quote, that that the rest of Kol HaTorah Kula, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Omer, HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe was Omer V'Kosev. He would repeat it and write it down. But the last eight Pesukim of the Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Omer, and Moshe did not repeat it, just Kosev B'Dema. He wrote it with Dema, and there are several shitos in the Rishonim and Achronim what Dema means. It might mean he wrote it with tears because he had to write down how he was going to die, but without actually saying it, he didn't utter a sheker from his mouth. It was just from his quill that he said it. More, you know, others say that no, Dema means with confusion, that he didn't put the letters in order. He just wrote the letters in some sort of confused state. That's how the Gra writes that was like Dimua when things are mixed together. It was jumbled, and that's part of that relates very much to the Ramban in the Saktama to Chumash, where the Ramban says that Kol HaTorah Kula is Shmos of Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the Osios themselves, you can be Mitzarif them in different ways, not the way that they're broken up into the words that we have them. And the Ramban gives the example, instead of Bereishis Bara, it could be Bara Sheyiz Bara, is also a proper way to break up the Torah, obviously not La Halacha in terms of Kriyas HaTorah and things like that, but it also has meaning. It's also in some way the Shem Hashem. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu gave us, something, we're not sure what, because we don't understand that level of Torah, but that's what Moshe Rabbeinu did. He gave us the letters in a jumbled fashion, where maybe he didn't say Vayamasham Moshe, maybe he said Vay Masham, or who knows, however it was broken up, and then later on Yeshua came and put it in order, in the words that we have it now. Maybe that's what Bedema means. Again, many, many different interpretations of what Bedema means. That's what the Gemara in Bava Basra says, that because it was written in such an unusual way, Yachid Korei Osam, the Gemara says. You should always have a Yachid read them. So there is a Deya that, what does Yachid Korei Osam mean? There's a Deya in quoted in Halacha, the Yachid Korei Osam means that you should have the most prominent person in the Kihila read them. That's the concept of Chasan Torah, goes to the most prominent person. The Chacham Tzvi explains that you would think it would go to the least prominent person because it's the most dubious part of the Torah. So he says, no, that's dafka the point. We want to make a point of showing that we hold of this just as much as we hold of the rest of the Torah, and that's why we want to give it to someone who's a yachid, someone who's a miyuchad. Yachid koreyosam might also mean that we treat it less, you know, less seriously. You have to look at Tosos over there, Masechet Bava Basra. But anyway, Bishlam l'man diyamar ches psukim, I understand very well if when the Navi says that Yeshua wrote down what it says in Sefer Torah Selukim, it means that he wrote the last day psukim of the Torah, Hainu d'chsiv b'sefer Torah Selukim. That makes sense that we refer to it as Sefer Torah Selkim because it's the Torah, right? El Mandi Amar Are Miklat might be Sefer Torah Selkim, but if we're talking about the Are Miklat, that's why it speaks in harsh terms. So then, what does it mean that he wrote Tvarim Ha'elu b'Sefer Torah Selkim? What does it have to do with Are Miklat? Sa'achi Kamar V'yichtov Yeshua b'Sifros Tvarim Ha'elu Haksuvim b'Sefer Torah Selkim. No, it means that Yeshua included in his own book, in Sefer Yeshua, the activation of the Ari Miklat that are already spoken about in the Chumash. And that's what it means by Sefer Torah Selukim. Not that Yeshua wrote the Sefer Torah Selukim, but that Yeshua included in his book the laws that were already included in the Sefer Torah Selukim. Sefer Shetafru B'Pishtan, the Sefer Pligi bar Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Meir Chalam Rakash v'Chalam Pasul. If you have a Sefer that is sewn together with Pishtan, so Rabbi Yehuda, so Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda Meir, whether it's kasher or not. This is the third of the Machlokes in between Rabbi Yehuda and a Bar Plukta. Leman Yam Rapasul D'Chsiv Leman Tia Torah Hashem B'Ficha. The one that says that it's Pasul says that the pasuk says "Lamantia Torah Hashem beficha." The pasuk, in the context of Tehillim, of Tefillin rather, says "Vahelucha la'osa al yadcha lizikaron beneinecha." You need an osa on your hands, a zikaron between your eyes, a reference to Tefillin, obviously. "Lamantia Torah Hashem beficha," so that the Torah Hashem will be beficha. V'iskish kol haTorah kulo l'tefillin, and the rest of kol haTorah is we have a hekesh that links up the rest of kol haTorah with tefillin. Matfillin alach l'moshe misinai the tofrin begidin afkol the tofrin begidin, that just like the rest of just like tefillin, there is a alach l'moshe misinai that we sew it with gidin. So too, all svarim Torah has to be sewn with gidin. V'idach, and the other opinion will say no, ki iskash l'mutar beficha l'ilchosav lo iskash. No, you know when we compare the rest of Torah to tefillin, that's only in regards to the idea that it needs to be mutar beficha, that you have to make it out of kosher animal, that you can't make it out of a non-kosher animal. But for everything else, we have no comparison between Torah and tefillin. Amar Rav Chazin l'tefillin de Beit Chavivi. Rav says, I saw the tefillin of my uncle, Rabbi Chia. Rav's uncle is Rabbi Chia. Who's Rav's father? Rav's father, you don't see quoted so much. Rav's father was someone named Ivo. He Aleph Yud Beis Vav. Rav's father was the Gemara Maseches Avodah Zarah Lamehem Beis says that Rav's father was makel with Pas Akum, and the Rabbanan declared at that time that they're never going to learn from him anymore, that they're not going to quote his learning, and that's probably why he didn't make it through most of Shas. But Rav came from a very prominent family. His father must have been an Adam Gadol, but he was cut out of Shas. But you have he was cut out of the Batei Medrash. They didn't quote him. He was someone that they weren't allowed to quote in the Beis Medrash anymore. But his uncle was Rabbi Chia, and he had Rav. So he says, I saw the tefillin of my uncle, the tefiri bekisna v'lesach kavsei. They happen to have been sewn with flax, and the halach happens to be not like that. That we don't paskin that way. Fine, new Mishnah. Echad meshuach b'shemen amishcha v'echad amruba b'begadim v'echad shavim mishichluso machzim nesaratzeach. We know the halacha is, pasuk says that when the Kohen Gadol dies, that's when the guy who is exiled to the Ir Miklat gets to go free. With the Misas Kohen Gadol, he gets to go free. Problem is, which Kohen Gadol? So the Mishnah says, any of the Kohen Gadol, the Meshuach B'Shem Namishcha, meaning if you have a Kohen Gadol who's anointed the old-fashioned way, where then when they actually used to have Shem Namishcha, and they would anoint him with the Shem Namishcha, or Meruba Begadim. Now, Meruba Begadim is not a different kind of Kohen Gadol. It's the same Kohen Gadol, it's just that once they no longer had the Shem Namishcha, the way to make the Kohen Gadol, was by putting on all the big day Kohuna Gadol. When he wore those Begadim, that's what made him the Kohen Gadol. The Echad Shavar Mim Shichuso, or even a Kohen Gadol that had some sort of psul, and therefore he was moved aside so that another Kohen Gadol could take over. When the first one comes back from whatever psul he had, so the one that took over in the interim is the Avar Mimishichuso, is right. So that Kohen Gadol also, all those Kohen Gadol Machzir Nesarotzeach, the death of any of them caused the Rotzeach to get out of the Ir Miklat. The Gemara is going to have a discussion: death of any of them or death of all of them. Right, it's not abundantly clear, but the Mishnah says these Kohanim Gadolim are Machzir Rotzeach. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Meshuach Melchama Machzir Rotzeach. Rabbi Yehuda says even the Meshuach Melchama could be Machzir the Rotzeach. Lefichach Himosein Shel Kohanim Aspikos La Michyo Ksus Kedei Shlo Yisrael Lo B'neim Sheyemusu. And that's why the mothers of the Kohanim Gadolim would prepare food and clothing and nice things for the Rotzchim in the Ari Miklat, so that they shouldn't daven for the death, for the demise of the Kohen Gadol. Rashash points out over here, the Rashash points out that lo yadati madua tani mimshichaso demashma davka shei nimshach mitchila. It's strange. When we talk about the Kohen Gadol sha'avar mimshichaso, what do we mean? We mean a guy who was working as a Kohen Gadol, became pasul, and then went back to his position. So the guy who took over for him is the avar mimshichaso, right? Why does it say mimshichaso? There are two ways a guy can be a Kohen Gadol. We just went through either Meshuach or Meruba Begadim. So why Avar Mimshichuso? Shouldn't we just say Avar Mikunaso? It sounds like it's Dafka that it was Nimshach Mitchila. So the Rashash says Be'emes Nira Degam B'Meruba Begadim Sha'avar Choser. You have to say it's Lav Dafka, that even Meruba Begadim that was then pushed aside for a while because of a psul is the same thing. Vulai shigras lishens reish par gimel dahorios nakat od the kan perusha migdulasa kumad dashin la mashka la gdula. Sometimes the word mashka doesn't mean anointed. Sometimes it just means gdula. It just means someone who's in a position of authority. So that's what you have to say. Avar mim shichuso doesn't mean literally from his anointedness. It means migdulasa from his position of being in authority. Okay, says Gemara minani mili. How do we know that this is true? Hamarav kana damakra v'yashuba ad mos hakoyim gadol. Pasuk says he stays there. How do we know that all of these different kohanim gadolim though? So the Gemara is going to quote different pesukim for each one, right? So you have one pasuk that says he's dwells in that city until the death of the Kohen Gadol. Uksiv ki bi'ir meklato yeshev ad Mos HaKohen Gadol. And another pasuk says the same thing. Uksiv achrei Mos HaKohen Gadol, that after the Kohen Gadol dies, that's when he goes back. So you see, the point is they have three different pesukim. Must be because three different Kohanim Gadolim can all cause him to get out of Galus. Rabbi Yehuda ksiv krachrina. Rabbi Yehuda says that even the Meshuach Melchama is included. Meshuach Melchama was not a Kohen Gadol at all. He never actually worked as the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Meshuach Melchama was the one who prepared the troops for war. He's the one that said, anyone, Yakala Yare Veracha Levav, anyone who's afraid, the whole Eif Perakasota is about that. It's about the Kohen Meshuach Melchama. That he gave the psych-up speech before the war. But on some level, he's considered like a Kohen Gadol. So that Rabbi Yehuda says that even he's included, because there's another pasuk, Hashuv L'Shev is Peretz Ad Mosa Kohen. So V'idach Midloksiv HaGadol Chad Mehanachu. So the other one says, no, from the fact that it doesn't say HaGadol, the HaKohen in that last pasuk must not be referring to a different Kohen Gadol, it must be referring to one of the previously referred to Kohanim Gadolim. L'fichach Yimosein Shel Kohanim. So he says, so the mothers of the Kohanim would prepare all sorts of goodies for the Rotzchim. Time of the Lomatzlu, Amatzlu Maisi. So it sounds like that only as long as these guys weren't davening for the death of the Kohen Gadol, that's when the Kohen Gadol was safe. But as soon as all these murderers would start to daven for the death of the Kohen Gadol would not be safe anymore. Vaksiv, Kitsipa Lanud Kidror La'ov, Ken Kilaschinam Lo Savo. But didn't we say, doesn't the Pasuk say, that a worthless curse, a curse that's for Chinam, that's for nothing, is never going to happen, it's never going to come true. So what are we worried about? Such a curse that these people are going to die and the Kohen Gadol should die, he doesn't deserve to die, so the curse should be worthless. Why does the mother have to go out of her way to make stuff for them? And says Gemara, Amalei Ahusaba, or it's the Giyosa, does it change the Giyosa? Amar Ahusaba, not Amalei. Amar Ahusaba, Mipirke Durav Hashmili, Shailan Levakish Rachim Aldoran Velo Bikshu. No, they do deserve to die on a certain level, because they should have been Mevakish Rachimim on their generation, and they didn't. What does it mean, Mevakish Rachimim? So there are multiple ways to understand Mevakish Rachamim. Mevakish Rachamim Aldorin, that no one should have ever died Bishogig in the first place, that these people should not have been put in a situation where they had to kill Bishogig in the first place. Mevakish Rachamim, they should get a kapara, that the people who are in the Eir Miklat should get a kapara. Whatever it is, they should have been Mevakish Rachamim, and these bad things wouldn't happen if the leadership would take their job of davening for the people seriously, right? That's one of the jobs of the leaders of the Jewish people, in addition to taking care of the Jewish people and their spiritual and emotional and physical needs and everything else. Leaders of the Jewish people also are responsible for davening for them, just pashat davening for them, that to be mevakesh rachamim for Klal Yisrael. V'ikadamasni k'dei sheyispalu al b'neim shelo yemusu. And some say it's that they should. Some say that k'dei sheyispalu al b'neim shelo yemusu, that it's that they should daven that the mothers made this stuff for these rotzchim, so that they should dafka daven that the Kohanim Gadolim shouldn't die. Not to avoid that they should daven, to stop them, prevent them from davening that they should die, but to dafka encourage them to daven that they shouldn't die. And then the gear says as follows. Then the discussion that follows would be slightly different. Time of the matzlu sounds like if they daven, then yes, then they won't die. Halo matzlu maisi sounds like if they don't daven, if the people, the rotzim, just stay still, the Kohanim Gadolim are going to die. So mayav leil mevet asks the Gemara, well, what are they supposed to do? What did the Kohanim Gadolim do wrong? So hachar minin tuv yachat of zigud mangid hasmar mishchem nasuv umavgai gazir. There are various expressions depending where you're from that basically say one guy does naver and the other one pays the price. The first one we're more familiar with, because that's in Maseches Pesachim, where in the context of one aid coming to Beis Din, where the Gemara says one guy comes to Beis Din and he says, I'm meyid that this one did an Aveira, that Tuvia did an Aveira. A man named Zigud says says the Tovia did an Averis. So what do? We start whipping Zigud. Zigud, why do I get whipped? Well, you're only 1 8, so it's Tam Lashon Hara. If you came with another 8, you would be 2 8, and you'd be believed, but with 1 8, it's just Tam Lashon Hara. So that's the expression. Tovya Chata, Tovya is the one that did the Avera. Zigud is going to be Mankid. But both expressions mean the same idea, that the guy who didn't do anything wrong, he's the one that gets punished. Amru Usabim Pirkei Derab, meaning that's not an answer, that's part of the question. So why would the Kohen Gadol be punished? So Amru Usabim Pirkei Derab Shmili, Shailan Vakish Rachman Aldor, and Vlo Bekshu. Same idea, he should have been Vakish Rachman, and he wasn't. Kiyada, Hu Gavra, there was once 3 parsos away from Rabbi Shimon ben Levi, someone was attacked by a lion. And Elio and Navi would not go visit Rabbi Shimon ben Levi for 3 days. So apparently you see that it's anything that happens in the vicinity of a tzaddik, we assume that tzaddik had the ability to prevent through his tefillos. Once we mentioned the idea of a klala b'chinam, so the klala of a chacham, even if it's said b'chinam, even if it's said for no good reason, could still come true. Min nalan, how do we know that? When David was digging shisin, he was digging these pipes, so he got to the point where water was gushing out and was going to flood the entire world. So he asked a shayla, can I write the Shem Hashem on a shard of pottery, throw it in there, and calm the waters down to save the whole planet? No one was saying anything to him. Amr, he said, anyone who knows the halach over here and doesn't say it right now is going to choke. Achitofel said, I think I know this halacha, there's a kavachomer. Amar, umal asoshalom b'nishlishto amra atorah shemishenichta b'kedusha yimachal amayim, if to make shalom between man and his wife, the name of Hashem that's written b'kedusha is allowed to be erased, l'kolom kulo l'kol shkein, that's just to make shalom between one man and his wife, but to save the entire planet, so all the more so that the shame should be erased. You see that this can be used in a halachic context. The idea of erasing the Shem Hashem for the sake of Shalom Beinish L'Ishto, we use as halachic reasoning. It's not just something that's a Gezeres HaKasu by the Parsha Sota that doesn't apply anywhere else. You find the Poskim talk about Ravadia Yosef as a tshuva about a case we discussed once in Shul, a case of a woman who was a Balas tshuva, and she was expecting her first child, or as far as her husband knew, it was her first child. She had a miscarriage once before. Her husband knew she wasn't a basula. She was Balas tshuva. Her husband knew she wasn't a basula when they got married. She had never told him that she had been pregnant before they were married. So the husband was all excited. The first child was going to be a baby boy, and they were going to have a pidyon haben. And she knew that it shouldn't be a pidyon haben. So what's the whole shaila? So just go through a farce, make a fake pidyon haben, and you don't have to upset the husband. No, the problem is the husband's going to say a bracha. It's going to be a bracha levatala. So Rav Avadia says, pretend that she found that someone was a Kohen or a Levi in her family, and that she's really a Bas Kohen or a Bas Levi. That's his Eitzah. If you can, but technically speaking, I spoke to my Rebbe Rav Silver. He said Rav Scheinberg was asked the same Shaila. Rav Scheinberg said the Shem Hashem was Nimchak for the sake of Shalom Benish Lishto. Same thing, right? For the sake of Shalom Benish Lishto, you could say the Shem Hashem. We use this in a halacha context. Anyway, Amr Leh Shari. So Achitofel says it's Mutter. You can do it. So there's a happy ending. David wrote the name of Hashem on a chaspa, threw it in the tome, and everything was fine, and the waters calmed down. But still, the curse that David made still came true. Pasuk says, Achitofel did not remain loyal to David. He joined, I think it was Avshalom's rebellion, one of the rebellions. And when Achitofel, the Achitofel was known as a brilliant advisor. Any advice that he gave was always matzliach. Right? When David davened that he should be saved, David's tefillah was not that Achitofel should give bad advice, because that's a bracha levatala, it's never going to happen. David's tefillah was that the advice should be confounding to, I think it was Avshalom, does it say that? Avshalom Adoniyo, one of the rebellions. But David's tefillah was that he shouldn't listen to the advice of Achitofel, because that was the best bet. And in fact, he didn't listen to the advice of Achitofel, and Achitofel was smart enough to know that if his advice wasn't listened to, he's done. That there's no chance that the rebellion's ever going to win, and he's already a martyr b'malchus now, so he went and he committed suicide. So that's Vayichanek. He choked himself to death. He hanged himself. Why did he commit suicide? Why didn't he just wait till he live out a few more weeks or months till the rebellion fails and then get killed, because Amar B'Malchus, his family's his possessions don't go to his family. So he decided to get himself killed earlier, so at least his family would have the money that he had. Amar Rabbi Avo, Kill Las Chacham Afilu Al Tanai Yiba Minol. Rabbi Avo says, no, you know where you know that a Kill Las Chacham works even when it's Al Tanai? May Eli, from Eli, to Kamerle Eli L'Shmuel. Eli says to Shmuel, Ko Yaseh L'cha Elokim V'cho Yosef, Im Tikchad Mimeni Davar. That Eli said to Shmuel, that Hashem should do the same to you if you hold back anything from me. Meaning, whatever it is, Shmuel got a nevuah, his first nevuah. He kept on going to Eli. Did you call me? Eli said, no, I didn't call you. I think you might be getting nevuah, so get ready, because it's the Dvar Hashem coming to you. Shmuel's a little kid. Shmuel finally gets the nevuah, and it's all about how Eli's downfall, and Eli's children are going to die, and all the horrible things are going to happen to Eli. So Eli says, no, what did Hashem say to you? And Shmuel says, I'm not telling. And Eli says, well, if you don't tell me, then it should happen to you. Whatever you saw about me should happen to you. You have to tell me. So, even though the pasuk says Shmuel told him from A to Z, he told him the whole thing. Shmuel still suffered with his own children not following in his path. A nidui, even if it's only given al tanai, still requires a hafara. Pasuk says by Yehuda, in law of Yosef Alecha, Yehuda says to Yaakov, if I don't bring him to you, then I should be a nidoy, right? I should be a sinner for you for all days. What does the pasuk mean when it says v'zos li Yehuda? That the entire 40 years the Jews were in the Midbar, the bones of Yehuda were rattling around in his Aron. Ad Sha'aman Moshe Bikesh Lavrachim until Moshe Rabbeinu davened for him. Amar Lefan, Ribono Shalom, Migarm L'Ruvain Sheyoda, Yehuda, who's the one that caused Ruvain to be Moda for to his Avera? It was only Yehuda, it was Yehuda's inspiration, the inspiration of Yehuda being Moda when he did something wrong with Tamar, that's what led Ruvain to be Moda. The Zos the Yehuda, Shama Hashem called Yehuda, all Ivrei L'Shafa, and that's where all the bones went back into the right places, and everything calmed down. So that's what happened with Yehuda. Frak tells us, wait a second, what was the order of events over here? The Medrash says, Vayashav Ruvain al bar, Ruvain went back to the bar, Mehechan Shav, Mi Beis Aviv, Sheyashav Betainis, al Maisa Bila, Vizaya Kodem Maisa de Yehuda. Now, Ruvain's story with Bila, the whole thing with the mixing around of the beds, that was before the story of Yehuda. So how could you say Ruvain was Moda only because of Yehuda? Ruvain's story was before they got rid of Yosef. It was while the whole Yosef saga was going on, what to do with Yosef. Yehuda was Yorid Migdulaso because of what happened with Yosef, because of his lack of leadership in preventing them from selling Yosef off. So the brothers were disappointed in Yehuda because they felt like they made the wrong decision, and he was Yorid Migdulaso. He ended up sleeping with Tamar, and that's how the whole Yehuda thing happened. So that was much later. So how could Reuven have learned from Yehuda? Says Tosos, Yeshom Demikal Makom Lahoda Barab, Man Maisid Yehuda. Reuven's sin came before Yehuda's sin. Reuven did not publicly acknowledge his sin until he saw that Yehuda did it. Until he saw Yehuda publicly acknowledge his sin. So anyway, love Kamaili the Masifta Derekia, but still Yehuda wasn't being allowed in the Masifta Derekia. Vel Amut Vieno, love Kayad Lemishkal Mitrach Bishmaita Bade Rabbanon. And then he didn't know how to, when he was allowed into the Masifta Derekia, he didn't know how to hold cup in the discussion and be involved in the discussion in the Yeshiva Shalmaila. Yadav Ravlo. So that's what Pasuk says, Yadav Ravlo. Right, that's all the words in the pasuk are really a prayer for Yehuda of how he's going to be able to get back to his position of prominence in the Olam HaEmes. Back on the Mishnah, we said that the Misa of various Kohanim Gedolim allows the guy to get out of Galus. The Misa of all of those Kohanim Gedolim, or even the Misa of one of those Kohanim Gedolim. Tashma, Nigmar Dina below Kohen Gadol, Einu Yotzim Misham Liolam. If you have a Gemar Din without a Kohen Gadol, he never gets out of the Ir Miklat. V'misa lahad b'dahanach. But so what that there's no Kohen Gadol, but there's still a Kohen Mishloach Mechama, there's still one of the other Kohanim Gedolim, so why doesn't he get out with one of the deaths of the other one? So isn't this a proof that you need the deaths of all of the Kohanim Gedolim mentioned in the Mishnah in order to get out of Galus? Says the Gemara, no. You only need the deaths of one of them. We're talking about Bitaleka, where there happened to have been only one Kohen Gadol in place. There was no Kohen Meshuach Melchama. There was no Kohen Sha'avar. Right? So there only was one Kohen. There's the Merubah Begadim or the Meshuach B'Shem Mishka. There was one or the other, but there wasn't more than one Kohen Gadol. And that's the case where if there was no existing Kohen Gadol, then he would be Eino Yotzei Mi Olam. Says the Mishnah. Mishnah Nigmar Dino. Meis Kohen Gadol Reze Enu Gala. If the Kohen Gadol dies after the Gemar Din, the guy does not go into Galus. Imach, because that's it, he's free. Death of the Kohen Gadol gets him free. Imach Lening Mardino Meis Kohen Gadol, if it was before the Gemar Din, the Kohen Gadol dies, Umanu Achar Tachtav, and they appointed another one in his place, Uliachar Mikain Nigmar Dino, and then he has a Gemar Din, Chosim Mimisas Vashalsheni. Then he gets out of Galus with the death of the second of the new Kohen Gadol. Nigmar Dino below Kohen Gadol, but if there was a Gemar Din, and at the time of the Gemar Din, there was no Kohen Gadol, at all, the Ahori Kohen Gadol, or if someone killed the Kohen Gadol, or the Kohen Gadol Sharak, it's the Kohen Gadol himself who killed somebody, Einu Yotzei Misham Liolam. That in those cases, the guy would never get out of the Ir Miklat. Ve'einu Yotzei Lola Eidus Mitzvah. He doesn't get out for the sake of an Eidus Mitzvah. You don't leave the Ir Miklat for an Eidus regarding a Mitzvah. V'lo le'edus mamu, nor for Eidus about money. V'lo le'edus nefashos, nor for Eidus about dinei nefashos. V'afil Yisrael tzrichim lo, even for Jewish people need him. V'afil, this is just about people in Galus in general. This isn't about a Kohen Gadol, anyone who's in Galus. You don't go out for any of these excuses. V'afil sar tzva Yisrael ki Yov ben Tzruya, even if you're an important general, like Yov ben Tzruya, and they need you for a war, ein yotz misham liolam, you never go out of the Ir Miklat. Shenemar, Asher Nashama, Shamte Diraso, Shamte Misaso, Shamte Kvuraso. That's where you live, that's where you're going to die, that's where you're going to be buried, assuming that you're one of the people that can't go out because of what happened with the coin. There was no coin Gadol at the time. Kishem She'ir Koletas Kach Tchuma Kolet. Just like the city itself protects the people inside of it, so too does the Tchuma of the city. Rotzeach She'yatsu Chutz L'Tchuma Matsu Gol Adam. If a Rotzeach goes outside of the Tchuma of the city and the Gol Adam finds him, so what's the din now? The Gol Adam is required to kill him? Allowed to kill him? Encourage, discourage. So Rabbi Yosef Glili Omer, mitzvah biad gol adam, or rishus biad kol adam. Gol adam is a mitzvah to kill him, anyone else is allowed to kill him. Rabbi Akiva Omer, rishus biad gol adam, kol adam chayavin lav. Rabbi Akiva says, no, the gol adam is allowed to kill him, everyone else who kills him is going to be chayiv misa if they try to kill him. So what's this idea of that you can't even go out of the city for the sake of Eidus Mitzvah? So Cheshek Shlomo says that in Lashon Tosefta in the second parak of Maseches Makos says Afilu Hu Nazir Einu Yotzei Misham Liolam El Megaleach Kol Sa'ar Mishaleach Tachas Hadud. That even if he's a Nazir, he can't go out of the Ir Miklat. Rather, he cuts his hair and throws it under the dud, the place where they would cook, and they would put they would burn the hair of the Nazir. So the Cheshek Shlomo just points out that it's a stira minei ubei. The dud is in the area of the Mikdash. That's in the Makom HaMikdash. That's not that's in Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim can't be in Ir Miklat. So what's the story that he's Ein Yotzei Misham Liolam? So he says it must be that he sends it, that he sends the hair. But the more importantly, Paros Yosef says he's not allowed to go out for anything. Heicha Yosin bePesach Dika Chiyuv Kares. What about on Pesach? There's a Chiyuv Kares for not bringing Korban Pesach. So he wouldn't go bring Korban Pesach. He's part from bringing Korban Pesach. So he says, Hanicha la Rambam zal desrile de bederach ruchoka patr mikareis. Afal hasheni, ulam la raivet zal shem tzorach iyun. He says, very shver. According to the Rambam, I understand. The Rambam holds that if you're bederach ruchoka, you're patr, you're not going to be chayiv kareis for failure to bring Korban Pesach when you happen to be bederach ruchoka. But according to the raivet, that you're still going to be chayiv kareis, even when you're bederach ruchoka. So it's very shver. How are you allowed to bring a Korban Pesach? The Cheshek Shlomo asks the same question, and he asks several other questions as well. And I'll leave out the other questions in the interest of time, but he says a totally different shot of the whole Mishnah. He says, Lulei demistafina, hayisi omer. If I wasn't afraid, I would say the following shot. It's not saying that he's not allowed to go out for Eidus Mitzvah or for Hatzalus Nefashos. No, you know what it's saying? That even though he needs to go out for Eidus Mitzvah, and he needs to go out for Hatzalus Nefashos, he better get back in the Ir Miklat afterwards. He's not allowed to stay there forever. And that's why the Mishnah used the word li'olam. He says, the Lashon Mishnah, Ein Yotzeis Misham li'olam. What do you mean, Ein Yotzeis Misham li'olam? When the Mitzvah is Kohen Gadol, he can go out. So what do you mean, Ein Yotzeis Misham li'olam? He can't go out forever. No, it means when he goes out, The going out can't be forever. He's allowed to go out for several things, Eidos Mitzvah, all these other things. But when he does it, it can't be a going out forever. Okay, let's see a little bit of the Gemara. My time. So what's the reason? I'm Rabbi Kabel Chomer. Umami Shagala Kvar Yatza Achshav. Why is it that a guy who, after his Gemara Din, the Kohen Gadol dies, never has to even go into the Eir Miklat? It's simple Kabel Chomer. Someone who was in Galus. Already, he goes out when the Kohen Gadol dies. Mishalo Gol, someone who was never even in Golus yet, in addition, Shalo Yigla Kal V'Chomer, he shouldn't have to go to Golus in the first place. V'Dilma Haide Gola Ichperle Haide Lo Gola Lo. But how's that a Kal V'Chomer? Maybe the guy who went to Golus got his kapara, and that's why he's able to go out with the death of the Kohen Gadol. The guy that didn't go to Golus never got his kapara, so he can't go out. Says Gemara, Midi Golus Kamachapra. What, you think the Golus is the thing that gives him the kapara? Nah, Mises Kohenu Machapra. It's not the Golus that gives the kapara, it's the death of the Kohen Gadol that in fact really gives the kapara. Tosos deals with the difficulty that doesn't seem to be true from earlier in the Masechta. Okay, we'll pick up from there tomorrow.